At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
Go, bruh. It's Dan.
Corny Dan. And it's Delatory.
Well, I missed some go, bruh stuff. Like, Dan's been really at the go, bruh. What did I miss out?
That's about it.
That's it. Just Dan Mullen being the first person ever from the state of New Hampshire to say bruh.
No. 32 minutes and 55 seconds worth of a press conference, and that's about the one quote that we got.
Listen, that's a good quote.
That's a great quote.
That's a good press conference right there.
It sounds like I didn't miss anything. I haven't tuned into one of those things since, like, last year. LSU was my last one. I was like, yeah, I'm cool.
Ah, well, the Missouri one was good. That's a Darth Dan.
That was hilarious. Dan was funny.
I don't know why people got so bent out of shape about that. It was Halloween. It was literally October 31st. It was Halloween.
I think it's because people get bent out of shape over anything, you know?
That's true.
How was your boys' weekend?
Beautiful, man. Just chilled. Whole lot of relaxation, man. Went to the Kush House, got some business done. Actually met like a producer, man. Dead Prez's producer, Tahir. He produced that song. It's bigger than hip hop. It's bigger than hip. So met him over the weekend. Gonna shoot some content with him in the future. Just talked a whole lot of hip hop. I thought that was dope. That's it, man. It's been chilling. Getting ready for the football season. Rested up. How you was, Nick? What you got going on?
I went to Spurrier's, which I guess we're gonna use as a tax write off because we wrote a story about that. So
tax write off.
Yeah, that's a work expense in my book, right? I went to dinner for work and wrote a story about it. Produced content.
Tell us about it.
Really cool spot. You can tell that Spurrier is like a hoarder. He's got everything. There's watches from bowl games from 1990 that he's got up on the wall. And if you're a Gator fan, the memorabilia in there, there's stuff that it's the only place in the world you're going to be able to see that kind of stuff. The food was incredible. Silk, I know you're not eating red meat, but they promised that the fish, if it hits your plate, it was caught within 48 hours, never frozen.
Nice.
Some of the fish was caught that morning. The mahi was delicious. Redfish was great. I had a short rib. That was awesome. It's
we get no invite? Me and Dan get no invite? It's we pricey. Taste makers.
Well, they got a little podcast
room. We're peons these days.
They got a little podcast room, which I think we should do a live show from.
Absolutely. We may already be in conversation about that, Nicholas.
So it's definitely pricey. I think me and the girlfriend, our dinner was like $140 pre-tip.
Mm.
There were some drinks.
That's light sure. for you.
There were some drinks.
And Nick's normally at an Embers on a Friday or Saturday night. So
yeah, the drink menu is good. I wish they had a little more whiskey, a little more bourbon. But
how's the wine list look, Nick?
Could be bigger. Could be bigger. It's not at Embers yet, Embers level yet. But I didn't drink wine. I went with some of their. They've got like their signature drinks. So I was trying. I'm working my way through the menu of their signature drinks.
I can see you doing that. Yeah,
it'll take a couple more trips, I think.
What'd you order? Awesome Blossom or some shit? What you got? An appetizer or you got a steak?
No, just I got a steak. I got no. It was a short rib with a mushroom risotto. Delicious.
That sounds good.
Portion was a little small, but I love mushrooms. The risotto was really good. The steaks are pricey, a little pricier than Embers, but I think I'm going back September 3rd, the day before the opener, and I think that'll be my steak day.
Very good.
I've seen somewhere they had like plays on the wall. Was that the restroom?
as the restroom. And so that's like literally they just asked Spurrier to do it, and that's just stuff that he could remember. So wow. That's crazy to me. He's 76 years old, and they're just like, hey, we want you to throw some ball plays on the wall. And he's like, yeah, no problem. Got it.
And then what? And then you have what, famous Steve Spurrier quotes on the coasters, or
yeah, there's so you can't spell citrus without UT is on a coaster. The one that I had was whoever says defense wins championships hasn't watched us play. There's just a lot of cool stuff, and they haven't even opened up visors, which will be the rooftop bar yet.
Oh wow!
That's just brilliant marketing and branding to call it visors.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really cool spot. It's going to be pricey, and I don't want to harp on bad service right now because I think everyone in the service industry is having trouble staffing, and then the people that are there are, you know, either still training or you know they're short staffed at the time. The service was slow, and it was only the second day they were open, so give them a pass on that. But you know, if I'm going in October and the service is still bad, then we got issues.
Did you put any coasters in the wife's purse?
No, I didn't. I didn't take any home with me.
It'd be a nice souvenir, man.
And it's where it's in that new area, right?
Yeah, it's like in Celebration Point. Yeah. It's in Celebration Point. It's right next to the AMC Theater, and it's across from Prime and Pearl, which is another, like high end steakhouse. And then Spurrier showed up at the beginning of our dinner. He showed up and he gets on the microphone. He said he was wearing his Georgia red shirt as a reminder that we got to beat them damn dogs. Spurrier still got it. Give him a microphone. He'll hold court.
Already.
Man.
How was your weekend, Dan?
It was good.
I'm glad relaxing. I ain't got to follow up Nick.
No, it was it was relaxing. I've got a couple big months ahead of me. So getting the body and the mind right. Yesterday, I did a whole lot.
You dug yourself a big hole.
Did a whole lot of nothing yesterday. That's right. So detoxing the body and the mind and the soul, ready to get back at it in a few weeks. But it was relaxing. Watched some football. Went to brunch. Had a big, nice brunch at a place called Meat Market here in Tampa on Saturday. And then just watched some football. Other than that, it's kind of relaxing. Went to a place called Hatrick's. Watched Tim Tebow play. Watched Kyle Trask play.
You defend Tebow's pick. That was fun.
You did. Yeah, we can talk more about it later. I know that this is like something that went viral, you know, Tim Tebow's thing. And you know, this is my take on when you watch one play is that unless you know what the play is or what that person's responsibility is, it's tough to say that person failed at their job. And the one thing that you're talking about, Silk, is when I mentioned something Coleman, former fullback, at Florida State said. He said he put up the video of Tim Tebow missing or hitting his block, deflecting, picking, whatever you want to call it.
He said a nice screen.
Yeah, and he said, now we need to put respect on fullback and H-back names as if that is an unrespected position, which I don't think that it is. But I don't think that using one clip of one player doing something right, that you had no idea what his responsibility was is to say, hey, this guy's an abject failure and you need to respect this position. So got into a little bit of a tizzy with former FSU fullback. But, defend my boy.
In my opinion, right, Tebow did his job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he sealed off his guy. He set a pick. And another opinion, who in the hell is sitting around like judging Tim Tebow's tight end blocks? Like real football takes.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. He
and got a gripe, a real life gripe. You're mad that Tim Tebow set a screen in a football game.
Right. In the late third quarter, right? A tight end, you know, a guy that's playing a position, you know, trying to earn his spot. He made a play that, again, you don't know what his responsibility was. And as far as I'm concerned, the play went forward for positive yards. There was a hole. The guy he definitely looked like a former quarterback, diving at the waist of a defensive lineman. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think that it was funny to draw these massive conclusions about how hard this position is to play or not play or really create any sort of take off of one play that your fourth string tight end played in the first preseason game in a new position for him. It was just it was a wild take, and you know, I had one or two beers in me.
I'm not taking your Tebow take serious, man. If you got time to be taking Tebow takes out, like, it's not a real football conversation. I'm going to keep laughing at you, man, because it's not that deep. It's Tim Tebow, bro.
Right. Well, and I think that that's what it was. Right. Like, my commentary was very much, he put it up like, Tim Tebow's not doing his job. My response was, you don't know what his job was. Also, you're not playing in the game. So he is, you're not. Right. And then he was like, I don't think Tim Tebow's a bad guy. I'm not attacking him, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, dude, you're taking this like very holier than thou commentary. What you're doing, you posted a video trying to make fun of Tim Tebow because you don't think that he made the right play. You're trying to get your likes and retweets. Then when somebody calls you out on you trying to get your likes and retweets, you're like, whoa, easy, bro. That's not what I was doing. I was just trying to show a play. I didn't know it'd go viral. It's like, okay, anything you post about Tim Tebow is going to go viral. It's just the nature of Tim Tebow, right?
Right. And then I turn on like you turn on ESPN or FS1, they're talking about Tim Tebow's blog. I'm like, what is wrong with people? Like, why is this real Tim thing?
Gets ratings.
Tim no, gets it's ratings. Nonsense, man. Like, that, the thing is that everything they don't like about him, they harp on. Like, Tim's not asking you to, like, rate his blog for the next hour or so and have takes on or to have it on FS1 the next morning. That's media. And they hate Tim Tebow because media like him. Like, I don't know. Anywho, shout out to that block. It's a nice screen. Got the job done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be on an instructional blocking video.
For sure.
But it was a road bump that allowed the play to develop.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I think every player in every position has probably made a play that if you were to overanalyze just one particular play.
If it's anybody else, nobody cares.
You probably find something wrong with it. Right? Exactly. You know, but long story short, Tim Tebow NFL debut as a tight end. So we can talk a little bit more about that. Silk, why don't you go ahead, shout out our new title sponsor here, and then let's get into a bunch of Gator news, scrimmages, and Dan Mullen press conference.
Shout out to the title sponsor, the great folks at Brunn Insurance and Financial Services. Be sure to visit BrunnInsurance.com for all your insurance needs, whether it's home, auto, boat, motorcycle, life insurance, any financial services you may need, visit BrunnInsurance.com or call 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies. Greg, what it do?
Baby. All right. So let's get through some news and then we'll dive into the scrimmage and into Dan Mullen's press conference. The AP poll, preseason poll came out. The Gator is at number 13. We can dissect that list, but for all intents and purposes, that's about where we thought the Gators would be, right?
Nick, you're muted.
Coach, is 15?
I think 15 or 14, yeah.
That's kind of what we thought. I mean, Silk didn't think. But we went through like 25 down to 1, and Silk, I think, had Florida at like 8?
7. Yeah, 7 to 9. Or 7 to 8, yeah.
I think that's kind of right where they are.
No, I'm sorry. Florida is 11th in just bowl.
11. Okay. I think the only thing that stood out to me really was LSU being below Florida because they were ahead of Florida in the coaches, and I think that was like a big difference between the two polls. But everyone's 0-0. Everyone's 0-0. This is all off of what did you do last year, who's coming back, and projections.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not mad where we're at, man. Plenty of opportunity. It's going to be a lot of L.
Yeah, Yeah, you've got a lot of matchups that could potentially, Clemson, Georgia, they play. You've got a couple of other bigger games to start the year. I think that Florida is going to start the season 2-0 going into Alabama, and I think that they'll be top 10. And then we've got a top 10 matchup.
And then the conspiracy theorist in me, put my tinfoil hat on. A lot of these, because now you're getting big, week 0 or week 1 matches. Hey, let's just make the biggest game we can in the preseason. If the preseason polls are whatever, they don't mean that much. Hey, if we can get Georgia at 5 and they play Clemson week 1, now you got a 3-5 matchup, even if maybe you don't think a Georgia is a top 5 team to start the year. Or maybe Florida, maybe the AP thought Florida wasn't a top 15 team, but they put them at 13 because like Dan said, hey, you win your first two games, now we've got number 1 versus number 9 or number 1 versus number 10 in week 3. So I think conspiracy theorist in me is that you might be getting some ratings boosts for TV. Take my Tim.
I mean, I, off. I mean, isn't that I don't even think that that's tinfoil. I think that that's understood that in sports, you know, these preseason rankings aren't really based on anything, especially in college sports, right? You're usually returning a very different team than the year before. You don't know much about the team that you're facing or you're putting on the field. There's a lot of question marks at a lot of different schools. I think that this is the first year that there's a lot of confusion on who the best team in the country is going to be, right? You have some ideas, you know, Alabama should be good. Georgia has a pretty good team. Clemson usually, you know, is going to create a really good team. But outside of that, they all have big question marks as well. So I think that this is the first year where you're going into the season saying, I'm not exactly sure who the number one team in the country is.
I think
I know. I know.
I think that team will be in Gainesville week three. I think that's the number one team in the country.
For sure.
Right. But even if they're the number one team in the country, there's still a lot of questions.
I mean, you got a question at quarterback, but I think their defense will be better than they were last year. Like, I think you've got as good as a unit, but I think they've got some like dogs on that side, and maybe Bryce is that guy. Maybe he's, you know, the next national champion quarterback, you know, at Alabama.
But also maybe he isn't, right? And you're also replacing, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, a lot of
they're always your offensive replacing line all too. Those guys. They always have the same questions, but they always answer them.
And I'm not saying that they're not the number one team in the country, but I would say that this is the first year that all of your top teams in the country have question marks at really important positions.
Yeah, I feel like they have a solid history of answering questions early.
Well, they about to answer it real early this year.
I feel like this is a weird hill for Dan to die on, to be like, Alabama ain't that good.
Nobody's
this might be the only you're alone on that hill.
Whoa. Nick, you're the one with bad takes on this show.
You're alone on that hill.
Nobody's saying that Alabama won't be good. Nobody's saying Alabama's not the number one team in the country. What I'm saying is that there's questions about who the top teams are in the country at important positions. Not saying that they won't prove that Bryce Young is the best quarterback ever in Alabama history. I'm just saying that there's a question mark about who he is. Same with DJ Ukulele at Clemson. Same with JT Daniels at Georgia, same at a lot of places. There are a lot of question marks.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. Speaking of question marks, former Gainesville Sun writer Pat Dooley had the fan base in a bit of a tizzy, saying that tailgating would be canceled for game one. Scott Strickland immediately shot that down, saying that Pat needs some new sources, basically. So it does look like there's going to be tailgating, and it does look like there's going to be a full stadium open on September the 3rd.
That smoke was like floating around like all weekend, right? Pat was just the only one that bid on it.
I think so.
Well, I think Tulane is requiring anyone to come to that comes to the games to be fully vaccinated. I think New Orleans, the Saints are doing it too. I've been told the Jags are thinking about it, kicking that idea around. So then you start thinking, all right, well, if the COVID numbers keep going up, like what's going to happen? And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if, you know, things don't get under control, if there was something done. But yeah, like you're getting closer and closer to the season. Like they definitely had those conversations, you know, when you're in that position. Whether you're Greg Sankey or an athletic director, you've got to have those conversations to at least have a backup plan. But we're under 3 weeks to kickoff, so I think you know it would the less time you have to execute that, I think it's probably more and more likely that we'll have full stadiums and tailgate and getting back to normal.
Right.
We got some of this discussion in our buy and sell segment, so we will talk a little bit about that. And finally, before we dive in, big shout out to Harrison Tenzer and Connor Clark, who interviewed new Gators defensive back Elijah Blades on Saturday. Put that on YouTube. I'll put that on our podcast channel as well. So make sure that you check that out. What'd you guys think?
I thought it was dope. Good work from the guys, man. I think Harrison being on campus is going to be a nice little segment. Him and Connor going one and two, like the JV Stadium Miguel squad. And we'll be out here a little bit. Let's flood the timeline. Let's change some things. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Shake some shit up. I think we got a nice team. We want to expand some more, but I thought it was dope.
Bro, you just put them on JV.
Well, it just started. They just transferred to the school, you know? You got to move up. You know, maybe there'll be a Stadium and Gale Part 2. Who knows? You know, but definitely check out that interview with Elijah Blades. Elijah Blades did practice with the team on Friday. So there was some conversation about when he would join the team, some talks that he would join today, which is Monday, but he actually did practice on Friday. So welcome to Gator Nation, Elijah Blades. All right, boys.
And on that note, Tyreek Sapp on campus too.
Tyreek Sapp enrolled and on campus as of Friday as well. So that completes every single person, I believe, from the Florida Gators recruiting class made it on a campus, which is, I believe, the first time under Dan Mullen. I could be wrong at the University of Florida. No players that got sent to JUCO or prep school or anything else. So welcome to the University of Florida, Tyreek Sapp and Elijah Blades. All right, let's get into Dan Mullen's press conference. I spoke to the media today, Monday. I had some interesting things to say. Nick, you were there before we run some clips. What was your overall feeling of the press conference? And
it's not positive. As you cover a coach for a while, like Jim McElwain, if somebody had a really good game after the game, he would be like hard on them. And if Luke Del Rio threw five interceptions, he'd be like, you know what? Luke did this well. You know, he'd kind of pick you up and pick you up when he needed to be. Dan's really tough on his quarterbacks. Even like last year when Kyle Trask threw, five touchdowns in a game, he was like, yeah, I think he did okay, but he missed this. And we're like, what are you talking about? He just threw for 600 yards and five touchdowns. He had an awesome game. But Dan hasn't really been super, super high on Emery. And then today he made some comments like, hey, I think he's going to make some extraordinary plays, obviously with the dynamic ability that he has. He's like, but he's almost like preparing. I got the sense that he's preparing you that like, hey, we're going to miss some stuff too. And it almost gave me like Felipe Franks vibes with the way he would talk about Felipe and be like, listen, he has arm talent. He can move in the pocket and stuff like this. But you're going to get, that missed read, or you're going to get, maybe an option didn't pull the ball out of the mesh point and make the wrong read there. So to me, it was kind of like he said, Kyle Trask operated at like 90% efficiency and like Emery's maybe at 80. What does that qualify when you turn, in terms of plays, negative and positive plays during a game? And then he keeps bringing up Anthony Richardson, and I don't think there's a quarterback controversy. Like Emery Jones is going to start. But he keeps bringing up Anthony Richardson, without being asked about him specifically.
What do you think that's for?
I think in one might just be because, hey, we're only asking about Emery Jones because we all assume that he's going to be the starter. And Dan's just like, hey, we got another guy here too. And they're similar in skill set. Like last year, going into this season, Kyle Trask and Emery are two completely different guys. So you're not – wondering like, all right, well, if Emery comes in, he's not going to run the same stuff that Kyle is. And you obviously wouldn't ask Kyle to run options or run the ball like Emery. But I think Anthony and Emery are so close in skill set. They're different runners, but they both have live arms. So to me, I'm not sure why he keeps bringing them up. I think it might just be simply enough that we're just only asking about one of the guys and he wants to talk about the other one as well.
I think that part of it – go ahead, so.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I think that part of it has to do with maybe the type of personality of Anthony Richardson or Emery Jones or any particular player. Dan Mullen, studied under Urban Meyer for a long time, who was a big psychology guy. Different players are motivated in different ways, and maybe he finds, that Emery Jones or Anthony Richardson react when they hear good things, maybe about the other player, maybe that he's right on his tail, or, maybe Anthony Richardson is a guy that maybe get down on himself. So when he hears, I don't know that for a fact, right? I'm just, conjecture here. Maybe Dan Mullen uses that as a certain motivational tactic or a certain psychological tactic, to communicate to his players. So I think that there's probably more to it than just meets the eye.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I wouldn't read into Anthony Richardson's name being thrown out there as as anything more than what Dan's saying, like motivation, little psychology games being played. I don't think it's a quarterback competition. I do like that he's keeping them in the mix. 80% don't sound bad.
No. No, and also, too, Dan made the point today because he was asked specifically about how is he going through his progressions. And Mullen was like, well, I might not want him to go through his progression. Like, if number one isn't there
and you see
a running lane, go, bro. Like go. Don't look for the fifth wide receiver option. You know, don't dump it off to the running back for
– Is that when he said go, bro? He said go, bro, like that?
That's when he said go, bro. He was like, yeah. Oh. He was talking about Emery being like, listen, if you see a lane, go. Right. Run, take off. You know, you want 3 yards on, you know, a dump off to the running back, who the linebacker's coming in to make the play there. Or, hey, I've got a hole, and if I can make one linebacker miss, now I'm gone for 30.
Yep.
So it'll be different.
Let's get into a couple Dan Mullen quotes. Here was the first one when asked about Emory Jones.
Brents. Obviously, I think his timing with the guys have got better, his control and understanding of the offense. His reads, I think, have gotten much better of where he's going with the ball. You know, and then his ability to create and make plays is pretty special.
So a lot of what we've talked about on this show about Emory Jones, what are you most looking forward to about Emory Jones this season, Silk?
Just being able to see Dan Mullen get back into his bag more than anything, being able to get into what we know him to do, being able to keep teams off balance, making them account for the quarterback, us being able to play 11-on-11. I think it can help the run game a little bit. And just a dual threat, giving teams and defensive coordinators like a nightmare having to worry about legs as well. I think it just helps Dan's scheme a little better. So I'm just ready to see Dan Mullen football for the first time at University of Florida since the last time, because I don't think we've really seen his brand of football yet.
He also had this to say about Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson. I don't need Emory to ever be like Kyle. I need Emory to be like Emory, and my job is to let him do that. He also said that Anthony's doing an unbelievable job. He had a huge night last night. Indicated that he had 3 touchdown passes. So a big night for Anthony Richardson.
Are we getting into the scrimmage?
Not yet. Let's get through this press conference real quick. And then there was a question about slot receiver, a position that we've been kind of pontificating about on this show, wondering who might play that. So this is what he had to say about slot wide receiver. Then I want to get your takes on who you guys think you might see.
More than last year when we kind of played them more on the outside, singled up. You know, you have Jacob Copeland in the slot, Rick Wells in the slot. The running backs can go into the slot. Trent Whittemore goes into the slot. So, you know, a lot of different type of deals creating the matchups where, you know, last year you're trying to get, you know, you had some guys on the outside you're creating one-on-ones for. If they wanted to leave them one-on-one or they wanted to roll that, your slot was Kadarius Toney to create some mismatches that way. We're kind of moving a lot more different pieces around.
All right. So let's get into some slot wide receiver talk. Dan Mullen kind of
mentioned. Sounds like, though. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, go ahead.
It just sounds like it won't be a traditional slot. It's like a matchup thing more than like a slot position, like me doing quote air quotes. I don't think it's going to be like a traditional, like we got a slot guy. I think it's more of a matchup thing, especially if he's talking about Toney or running backs being there. Not Toney, but Copeland or running back maybe being there. I think more of like a matchup thing than actually slot position.
Yeah, I think like what you're saying is like when the depth chart comes out before week one, they'll have, you know, probably Jacob Copeland listed as number one and Trent Whittemore there as 2.
Right.
And that might not be what the first play is scripted as. You might have 2 running backs, you know, on either side of Emory in the shotgun, and then Malik Davis or a running back goes out and gets into the slot. You might have a tight end motion out into the slot. So I think when the depth chart's released, you'll see Copeland and Whittemore, but then as the game's playing out, it depends on down and distance and defensive personnel to how you're going to attack that.
Right.
Yeah, I would – what I kind of gleaned from that was not just that, but I think that you're going to have a lot of players mix and match into that position, and I think that, you know, you're going to have players play the X, Y, and Z receiver. You know, this year, I mean, outside of, you know, Justin Shorter and maybe a couple other guys, you don't have a lot of just true X's and Y's, your big outside one-on-one type
X and Z,
you know, wide receiver. So, you know, I – X and Z, sorry. You don't have those two real outside receivers.
We don't? We should.
No, what I was going to say is
X and shorter.
Well, yeah, but they're still a little bit unproven, right? You still have, you know, some things that you want to see out of Henderson and out of Shorter. You have guys that are going to play that and probably are going to align those positions a little bit more. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a lot more players fill into that slot role compared to last year. Maybe, you know, what we've seen previously with, you know, just Kadarius Toney or just that one guy. I think that you're going to have, you know, probably six or seven different players play, you know, slot wide receiver this year.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, when you have a player like Toney, you're not going to get cute with it. Like, hey, we've got a guy that fits in right there. You know, we don't need to mix and match. You don't really have that guy, or else I don't think they have that kind of guy yet. But, like, put baby Elksness out there. Put him in the slot. Let me watch a 5'11", 170-pound nickel try to, you know, play up on the line against a guy like that.
Well, and that's where I think that you can get creative, right? Mm-hmm. You can put anything from – two running backs onto the field, three tight ends onto the field. You can have three what you would consider, you know, outside receivers on the field at any particular time. But I think that you're going to have a matchup issue there, and it might even play, you know, well into Florida's scheming abilities, you know, compared to just having, you know, not to take anything away from Kadarius Toney, obviously a first-round draft pick, but you might have a lot more options this year that could create some real mismatches, you know, whether it be size, whether it be speed, whether it be, you know, bulk, whatever it might be.
Right. Yeah, I like it.
All right. And then finally, the quote that kind of got the internet in a tizzy, Nick quoted it. It's about offensive line recruiting. And I think it's important to kind of watch Dan Mullen's body language when he says this. This is a question about offensive line recruiting.
Yeah, pretty good. You know, we'll see. That's always one of the trickier ones because, you know, there's so much development that goes into that position, you know, with different guys. But, you know, we'll see. I think we get a veteran group and some experience. So hopefully it's been going pretty well this year.
Now, Nick, you were there. You got to watch the audio and video, pardon me.
I did watch the audio.
Sorry, you did watch the video. Do you think that Dan Mullen actually believes that offensive line recruiting is going pretty well? Or did you think he was kind of shrugging it off? And what are your thoughts?
Well, here's the thing. So everyone on the message board and everyone on Twitter has been asking to ask this question. So shout out to Thomas Goldkamp for asking the question that fans wanted to ask, but I'm not covering recruiting. So I get that fans want to ask, but I'm not covering recruiting. I'm 19 days from the season. So yeah, that question needs to be asked, sure, but it's not what I'm going to be writing about specifically. Mm-hmm. And then what's Dan going to say in that moment in front of the camera with a microphone in front of his face? And be like, hey, how's offensive line recruiting going? He's not going to say John Hevesy stinks. We need to get rid of him. I don't know why I haven't done that yet. Like, what do you think Dan's going to say? That's exactly what he's going to say. Yeah, it's going fine. And then he's asked later about recruiting. He's like, well, I'm not asked for the evaluation when guys are getting stars. Like, he's not going to give the fans what they want in that. That's the exact answer. I think I could have almost quoted him a month ago, you know, it quoted him exactly and what it was going to be. I don't think they don't completely disregard, you know, rivals rankings or how many stars a guy has. Obviously, if you have five stars, you've got it for a reason. But John Hevesy's his guy. They've been together for, you know, damn near 20 years, something like that, over 12, 15 years. And I think he wouldn't have kept Hevesy around this long if he didn't think he could coach and if he couldn't recruit. So he's not going to be as honest if he doesn't think it's doing well. He's not going to say it in that moment. But yeah, I didn't take too much away from it. I think that's just kind of what I expected his reaction to be. Ask that question in a setting where we're talking about his football team.
Yeah, I think that I just kind of took the quote as pretty well that made it to the timeline to watching Dan Mullen's body language that I'm not exactly sure he thinks it is going pretty well. So I will take what Nick said. He can't read any of your responses, by the way.
No, he definitely knows it's not going pretty well. Like, we don't have to guess on that.
Sometimes I just have to, like, I'm watching a press conference and I get a quote and I'm just like, I got to lob a grenade on the timeline and then hit mute. hit mute on the on that, so I don't have to see the replies or all that. But yeah, just lobby grenade today for sure. I knew what I was doing there.
You for sure did. He said that he thinks Lorenzo Lingard is going to make an impact this year. I think he's worked his tail off. A lot of people have asked about Lorenzo Lingard's spot in a very crowded running back room. He applauded Justin Shorter's work ethic and his ability or his offseason that he had. He thinks he's going to have a big impact. And then finally, Brenton Cox is still rehabbing the foot. Did not play in the scrimmage on Sunday. But the discussion was, you know, even if he was healthy, Dan Mullen knows what he's getting out of Brenton Cox, so he might not have played anyway. Don't know if I believe that or not, but, you know, we do know what we're already getting out of Brenton Cox. So, Nick, any other comments from Dan Mullen conference before we jump into the scrimmage?
Yeah, shout out to the doctors who, you know, amputated and then reattached Brenton Cox's foot, according to that Georgia site that was talking about his injury. I think I talking about the running backs though, where does Lingard fit in? You've got five guys. Who are you taking carries away from to get him involved?
All of them, man. What do you mean? I think we need somebody that could just take the, like, you know, like could take it to the crib from anywhere. Him and Bowman got that top end speed. They're just different. They move different. We've seen a clip of Bowman that was on the timeline, got everybody going crazy. Everybody's like, oh, it's third team. I don't care if it's 18. Like, I've seen him bounce outside. I haven't seen that type of activity in a long time in our backfield, man. So I think he could pass anybody. I think all those guys, if they get the opportunity, they have the opportunity to break some big ones and change some things and get more carries. Will that happen? We'll see.
And then two, I guess, programming notes, Blades and – Sapp didn't scrimmage. They're still in the acclimation period, so they can't even be in full pads yet. But also, they've been in they literally had one day of practice before the scrimmage. So they're practicing, but they weren't able to scrimmage on Sunday night. And Florida will scrimmage again.
Makes sense.
And Florida will scrimmage again this Sunday.
Well, and Elijah Blades hasn't played organized football in over a year. He sat out last year due to COVID. You know, he pulled himself out of the season last year. So I think Elijah Blades is going to take a little bit of time to get reacclimated. Not saying that he won't make an impact and that he won't play, you know, quite a bit, and that he's not talented and hasn't been working out and, you know, practicing. But I still think that there's going to be a little bit of time before Elijah Blades is truly at game speed again. Let's get into – oh, let me – Soak, you brought up a point, Nick. You asked the question. How do you guys think the running back room shakes out before Alabama? Do you think that the first two games you're going to see what you have out of the five? Do you think that Florida already knows what they have out of, you know, Pierce and Davis and Naquan, that Bowman and Lingard might get some more time? How do you guys think that the first two games, assuming that Florida wins those games pretty easily, shakes out?
Okay, I'll go first. I think opportunity is going to be there for everybody, but it's going to be slim. So, like I said, the guys like Bowman and Lingard, when they get their opportunities, man, they're going to have to make something happen. So it's a crowded backfield. I know Dan's going to try to give those older guys more carries. That's just what it is. Especially Bowman, because he's already warned us about Bowman. So. But Bowman also has an opportunity on special team. If he was turning kicks, that's an opportunity to earn playing time as well in the running back rotation if you're breaking big kick returns. So yeah. You just got to show the staff and the fans that you're explosive and you'll get more opportunities.
I wanted you to go first. I'm really not sure how you do it. I've said it a bunch of times on here. I think it's the older guys that get that shot.
Right.
I think FAU might be a better football team than USF. But, like, if you get into a scenario where you're up 20-30 against FAU and then those other guys, you know, Lingard or Bowman, get an opportunity and then they start producing, like, how does that go in terms of then how do the reps shake out by week three? Because – a bunch of people are going to play week one. A bunch are going to play week two. You're looking for your guys to play against Alabama. And I think, will you get enough opportunities for a Lingard or a Bowman? I think Naquan Wright will get enough opportunities.
Yeah, I think they got enough opportunities to flash and do some things. Mm-hmm. They should be given. Like, I want to see our young boys get opportunities, especially the guys that are explosive like those boys. So I hope they get some opportunities. Also with Burke, I'm hearing some good things from Burke as well. So any freshmen that are explosive in those first two games, USF, FAU, get those guys the ball and see what they could do.
You said those yeah, names. Absolutely. With some disgust.
What name?
It's because he had to mention the 904. So
you should be scared. Yeah, it'll let you back in the city after what you said, bro.
I am one to believe that I think that if Florida gets out to quick leads, which I know that they haven't been like want to do in some of their games over the past few years, but I do think that you see Pierce, Wright, more like first half guys, and I think that you see a lot of Davis, Bowman, and Lingard in the second half of both of those games, maybe even a little bit earlier. And the reason I think that is because I think that that Wright and Pierce are probably your one and two running backs right now, that they're going to probably want to short out that third wide receiver position, because I don't think that you can logically think that Florida is going to rotate through five running backs. And I think that Florida needs to figure out who their top three guys are. I think that you're still going to see all five get the opportunity to play this season. But I think a bulk of those carries are going to be with three guys. And I think that Florida needs to figure that out pretty quickly, who those three guys are going to be and go with them.
Got to figure out how to get the ball into Marcus Bowman's hands.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Offense, special teams, just got to figure it out.
And I think that the same could be said about Lorenzo Lingard, right? I mean, a five-star running back out of high school, dealt with some injuries, is obviously an athletic beast and specimen, but, you know, he's fast, shifty, he's big. I think that you have a lot of talent with him too, but definitely DeMarcus Bowman is a guy that you wanted so badly when he was in high school. You finally get a gift in your lap when he transfers to Florida. You've got to give him an opportunity.
With you.
All right. Go ahead. Oh, with me. Gotcha. Nick,
bro, you got you lagging, bro. You gotta get together, Nick. I mean, Dan.
Yeah. Dan's got a hamster running his internet.
I don't know what it is. I never have problems until this podcast. All right, so Nick, break down a little bit about
it's the podcast,
about the scrimmage from what you heard.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. In football, you're going to have a winner and a loser every single play.
For sure.
And then when you're playing yourself, you've got a loser. So is it okay if the defense, you know, Jeremiah Moon gets three sacks in a scrimmage? Hey, is that great? Because a guy that's been injured, finally getting back, did he have a great
Nobody game? Wins in the scrimmage.
Or is the offensive line cheeks? And it's like, well, you don't know. Because then you might think the offensive line's bad.
Right.
And then you get to the season and they're like, oh, okay, they were good. And then Jeremiah Moon was even better. Or you might think, hey, Jeremiah Moon is great. And then you get into the season and you're like, oh, no, our offensive line was just terrible. Like, we don't have a good front seven. Mm-hmm. We just thought they were good because our offensive line is terrible. So it's tough to kind of figure out. Dan Mullen was asked, you know, are there winners and losers? And he said, you know, it's coach speak to say we're still 0-0. And after his scrimmage next week, we'll be 0-0. But I think when you start looking at a guy like a Jamarcus Weston getting involved and getting a touchdown, I think that's big. Anthony Richardson throwing for three touchdowns, I think that's big. And then it might sound corny, but I think just getting the younger players into the swamp, and there's nobody there, but they try to play music and make it loud just to get them to get that feel. Because I think when you're a young player, especially if you're a young player that's going to be counted on, you know, if you're a freshman that's going to play, you might tighten up that first time you run out of the tunnel and you look and there's 80,000 people there versus FAU and the place is going crazy and it's a whole different experience than, you know, running 7-on-7s in the indoor practice facility.
Word up.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive in a little bit more. And I'll say this. There's a lot of that I don't know about the scrimmage, but I know that there's a lot of things on the internet that are not true. There's a lot of people on Twitter.
Like that, no. You don't have to say names, but give me some info that's untrue.
Why you sound like that? Like you're going to snitch on somebody, Dan.
Dan, yeah. That's not even dry snitching. Dan's here. Dan's like Tekashi 6ix9ine. Like he is in court hair braided, ready to point and name names.
I will tell you a few things. I will tell you one, Emory Jones was not sacked 7 times.
Because he's wearing a non-contact jersey.
Right. I will tell you that Emory Jones nor a combination of Gator quarterbacks did not throw 7 interceptions yesterday. They did not throw 6 interceptions. Then they most certainly, by that math, also did not throw 8 interceptions.
I'm looking at my insider notes and see if I see what you say.
your boy Caillou did get one.
Yeah, man. I heard him and Marshall are having really good camps, man.
I was told Marshall had a pick.
Avery Helm as well.
Avery Helm had dropped a pick. He's a guy, like, especially with Jaden Hill, like, we really slept on him. Like, he was kind of like the guy that you would, like, the throw-in name after you were talking about who's the other corner. But he's going to be a guy that's going to play a ton now with Jaden Hill out. Avery Helm, it is. I don't know if that was clear.
Shout out to Avery Helm and shout out to his dad, a big listener to Stadium and Gale. No, I really like Avery Helm. He's a guy that, you know, I think needed a little time at UF, but I think that this could be a chance for him. I did hear that maybe Jason Marshall had a better day yesterday than Kyrie Elam. Not putting him down, but saying that Jason Marshall was the best defensive back at the University of Florida in their scrimmage on Sunday.
Yeah, Avery Helm did start over Marshall in the scrimmage, but I heard Marshall had a really good camp. Elam had a real good scrimmage. I heard 3 picks. What are you hearing, Dan? Is my guy lying?
I heard 4, but that could be wrong. The person that I talked to said that they did not specifically count, but they do know that it was no more than 4.
Well, is that the offensive line was bad? Did the quarterback make a bad throw, or did the defensive back make a good play?
Right.
Yeah, we don't know. And we don't know, like, situations. I know, like, Dan likes to put quarterbacks in situations where they can't run the ball and you have to make throws. So, like, you got to take all that into consideration as well. Making him sit in the pocket, go through reads isn't something he's normally going to do, but you put him in situations where you have to now, you know, just to make him sharper.
I do have a whole drive or a whole section of a scrimmage where Emory or Anthony, who's ever in there, is told, hey, I don't care what happens, you're not leaving the pocket. And you're going to have to sit there and make a play, and that could lead you into – forcing something that you normally wouldn't have, but you're trying to work on something and not, like, what are you getting out of Emory or Anthony taking off when you can't tackle them? Like, who's gaining from that? And now then the coaching part is to say after that play, like, hey, listen, I know you weren't allowed to run, but in that situation, what'd you see? Because I think in a normal game you should have taken off. So that's like the coaching point to that, but you're working on stuff in a scrimmage.
Yeah, Nick, you make a really good point that the scrimmage, especially Dan Mullen's scrimmage, from everything that I know from when I worked for Urban Meyer to now, is that his scrimmages are not full-on games, right? They're not 60 minutes of 11-on-11 football. They're scrimmage. They're situational. You know, like Nick said, there's opportunities where you have to, you know, throw to this certain player. You have to run this certain play and that you're going to run it until it's successful, and that throwing interceptions or making sacks or doing anything in a scrimmage situation is something that can be often overanalyzed without much context. Now, I will say this. There could be a lot more context added if they let people watch, but
I tried. I shot my shot, and Dan told me it would be open for everyone in 2 weeks from Saturday.
Our defense is ahead of the offense, which is normal to any fans that are freaking out. The offensive lines have been shifted around a little bit, so it ain't the normal starting line. We had a shift there.
Yep. We had a shift starting last Thursday, I think, last Wednesday or last Thursday from practice, where you have Kingsley at center. You have Josh Braun over at tackle.
Yeah, I think Kingsley. I think Kingsley's a guy that I don't write the depth chart, but I kind of buried on the depth chart. But Dan Mullen was really high on his mindset, and it wasn't coming here to, you know, just happy to be here. It was what can I do to be the starting center and kind of doing that. And you're trying to find the best 10, and center is probably harder to play than any of the other spots, interior spots, because you have the snapping aspect along with blocking and doing all that, and you're pulling kind of like the guards as well. So if that's
identifying certain players and things of that nature too. You have more responsibility in that center role.
So go ahead, so
I heard Kingsley had a real good day yesterday. He's probably the lone good spot at like as far as offensive line. Are we concerned about offensive line? I like the shift. I think we got 3 weeks to work on things. The first scrimmage. I think our front seven on defense is going to be a problem for anybody in the SEC, let alone ours that without offensive line. But are we concerned about offensive line?
Yes. Who isn't?
Yes. Dan Mullen said today that they have, what, seven players that they're comfortable with, which is not enough.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they have seven. I can think of five.
You want 10. You want at least 10 so you can be too deep in every position. And that's not necessarily, you know, if the left tackle gets hurt, the backup left tackle goes in. I think they'd be shifting and moving along those lines. But, no, I don't think Florida's at 10, and I don't think they'll – be at 10 that they're super comfortable with. They might say that they've got 10. You know, I don't know when we're talking to John Hevesy, I think this week, but he might say they're comfortable with 10, but I don't think they're that number yet.
So we have the traditional five plus that we've talked about, right? Braun, Kingsley, Garage, Ethan White. Mm-hmm. Who else am I missing? DeLance, Reese. Those are seven that we know play, right? Whether you feel comfortable with them or not, those are seven that you know Dan Mullen feels comfortable with. On top of that, you have Richie Leonard, who I know played a bit yesterday. I know that he's getting some work at guard and at center. So that's potentially an eighth guy. I don't know if Florida can get to 10.
My concern is, like, all these notes that I'm seeing a lot of passing touchdowns, right? This person caught a touchdown. That person caught a touchdown. I'm not hearing any big runs or anything like that in the run game. And I think we got to have a run game for Emory or this offense this year to go. I don't think we can rely on Emory's arm. So that threw me back, set me back a little bit when I was reading the notes of different message boards. Was I didn't see anything from the run game that got me excited. That was like, oh, we're going to be able to lean on some people this year. And that's going to have to change kind of fast. We can't rely on Emory's arm.
I think the situation Bowman with the big run.
That's like fourth team or something, though.
No. You already said you don't care if it's 18.
Yeah, no, I like his activity, but we're concerned about our first team offensive line, sure. Like the fourth team. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I would say this without knowing the situation and knowing what Emory Jones is able to do. I think that Emory Jones being mobile is what helps open up the run game, right? Where the threat of Emory Jones running the ball, the threat of him throwing the ball, that a team is always going to have to spy Emory Jones that may not be in a scrimmage, right? Yeah, Emory Jones has to pass, then you're not going to spy Emory Jones.
Yes, that's my line of thinking. That we'll like when we're playing 11-on-11, the run game will work itself out, but. That was one of the things I saw just from camp. Like, it was a lot of passing touchdowns, and that's not how I envisioned this offense being that many passing touchdowns.
Well, and here's the thing, too. When stuff is closed, everyone that's at scrimmage can just give us the narrative. And you know, I'm talking to people that were in the stadium, and they can give me whatever narrative they want because I'm not there. I can't see it. So right now, Florida can push out whatever narrative they want. And if they want to be Emory Jones is throwing the ball, everyone there could be like, hey, when you talk to whoever tonight, Emory Jones was throwing the ball like Danny Werfel, and we couldn't run the ball. And that's, you know, if that's the news that they want to get out, it can get out. You see it like happen like in the NFL draft and agents are talking to writers and all this stuff and guys start moving and shifting. It's just, you know, people sometimes we in the media get used as to get out a message that the school wants. And that's why I like being.
That's a fact.
And I'm not trying to complain about not being or not getting access because I have a dope job. I get to watch football. But, you know, when the media is not there, when fans aren't there, the information that's coming out can be selectively chosen.
Yeah, and I also think that Jamarcus Weston had a big game as well. That's a name that we haven't talked a lot about. Dan Mullen was high on him last year, definitely high on him this year. That's a name that I've heard throughout the last year, you know, since January, I guess the last 8 months, as a guy that in spring and in summer and in fall has really made some strides. So I think that when we've talked a lot about the wide receiver position, we haven't talked a lot about Jamarcus Weston because there's some other names.
What do you mean?
I'm not saying that you haven't, so that's not what I'm saying. Right. But like, what I'm saying is that beyond just the names that we talk a lot about, your Copelands, your Shorters, you know, those guys, that Jamarcus Weston, I think, is going to have a big, you know, year for Florida. I'm not saying that you didn't mention him.
No, I just messed with you, fam.
The signing day press conference that we do every year, I've taken to asking Mullen, who's the guy not heralded, doesn't have the stars, that doesn't get written about much or talked about much, who's the guy that's going to be the one that impresses the most from, I guess, surprises the most. And Jamarcus Weston was the guy he picked a couple of years ago, you know, when he signed on National Signing Day. Yeah, like I said before, he had a touchdown pass or touchdown catch. They've got guys. They got a lot of depth. And it might not be household names. Like, you probably have to be, no disrespect to him, but you probably have to be like a diehard Gator fan to know Jamarcus Weston or to know Jaquavion Frazier's. But I think they've got
Weston would have been a way bigger recruit if he had really went into the process and went through Canada the process.
He recruited to Florida early, right? Or committed to Florida real early, right?
He just didn't have the time too. Like, his family stuff he had going on with his family, he didn't really camp to like go up the rankings and compete in that type of stuff. So I thought if he had the ability to do that type of stuff, he would have been a higher four-star recruit, but he just didn't camp and do that type of stuff over the summer.
But I think they've got guys like those guys that I've just mentioned, obviously the Copeland and the other guys that we've mentioned before. They've got a bunch of dudes. They have a lot of depth. We talk about running back depth all the time. That receiver room's deep too.
Yeah. And they're tall. They've got a lot of length, and they got a lot of
in that room. Like, Jacob Copeland's the short dude in the room, and he's not short.
Weston is a dog.
He's listed at 6 foot, yeah.
Weston is a dog.
Weston's what, 6'3"? Frazier's is tall. Whittemore's tall. Shorter's tall. A bunch of tall guys out there. Anything else on the scrimmage?
No, I just like the activity from the wide receivers. Xavier Henderson, Weston, they're just guys that's going to be good weapons for Emory. I don't think it's going to be hard to go one-on-one versus us. If you're putting your DB one-on-one with these type of guys, I like myself. You know what I'm saying? Big body receivers that got speed, that can separate. So I'm just glad to see, like, the video. Even if Weston, that was a deep ball. It was a beautiful ball. Seeing us stretch the field like that on clips. The pass from Emory Jones to Xavier Henderson that was on IG last week was beautiful.
Yeah.
Dropped it into the sunroof. So just seeing those deep balls like that from our quarterbacks and our wide receivers, the chemistry there, you know what I'm saying? I can't see all the plays, but I do like seeing the explosive ones on the highlights they're putting out.
Yep. I'm hearing pretty good things about Ethan White, still improving, getting better. You know, a lot was talked about Ethan White and his body change, you know, since he's arrived at Florida. There's still some kinks to work out. Still not all the way there, but is making some strides. So I think that there's an opportunity, you know, for Ethan White to have a pretty good impact and be a multi-year starter for UF. Heard good things about Jeremiah Moon. Heard some really good things about the defensive tackles, Newkirk and Valentino, as well as Gervon Dexter. I'm hearing great things about Zach Carter.
Yes, sir.
And then I'm hearing some really good things about Ventrell Miller's step up in his leadership more than anything, really stepping up into that middle linebacker role. And then you're starting to hear a little bit more about Tyron Hopper on the field as well. I know that that's a name that a lot of folks are talking about. And then finally, Mamu Diabate impact on the field as well.
What do you got, Diabate playing the mic? What is he playing?
Nick, you're on mute, bud.
Hello.
Hello.
They got him at money, which is like their weak side. Because if you look at them, they're really Mike, which is Miller, and then Diabate would be next to him. That's their money. And then you'd have, you know, Buck, which would be like Cox, Bogle, guys like that.
So your starters right now, Diabate and Miller.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So Hopper fills in for Diabate.
Yes.
Yep.
Who's behind Miller?
They've got Wingo playing Mike. Yeah. Which, I mean, like – I wasn't sure. So last year he had to play kind of everywhere when guys started dropping like flies.
Can we just get him at one spot? Like
that's what I'm saying. Like, especially when you always talk about it, and it's like a coaching thing where it's like you don't want to put too much on a young guy's plate, and then you get a guy who basically just rushed the passer in high school. You come in, you're like, hey, we need you to learn the entire playbook for linebacker. And you're like, wait, that's a whole lot. He put first and second servings on his plate. Like, you should just let him get after the quarterback. Right. Now maybe, you know, full year in it, and he's been playing there since like midway through towards the end of last season and then all through spring. But I don't see Ventro Miller coming off the field unless he's tapping his helmet, you know, for a drink.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how everything kind of shakes out, but hearing some good things about the defense. Are you guys hearing, Nick, I didn't ask, maybe you heard, who's starting on the other side of Trey Dean?
I think Mordecai McDaniel is going to get a look there. I think Trevez could have, but I think he might slide down. That's interesting to me. I think there's going to be more of a rotation and kind of like when you went back, it must have been
Who started at the star?
I don't know who started at star yesterday or Sunday. That's another position that it depends on offensive personnel down in distance, because you could have DeJuan Black there. You could have.
I just want to know who started in our scrimmage at the star. I'm just interested to know that. I'll find out. You know, I'll make a phone call. I should have did that before the show. That's bad podcasting. but I didn't think about it. But that's a question that's in my mind right now. Who started at the star? So we had him on the other side of Kyir. I'm not mad at that. He had a good practice, but I like how Jason Marshall sounded. Rashad Torrance, I'm guessing, had to be the starter at safety beside Dean.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? No?
Go ahead. I am so confused on that second safety and that star position, because I think that you have a lot of players. You know, you mentioned Mordecai McDaniel. He's a guy that played more than I think that we talked about, even on this show. He's a name that when we've talked about safety, we haven't talked about him very much. Trevez Johnson, Rashard Torrance, Kamar Wilcoxon, DeJuan Black. You have a lot of folks, you know, that can play. You think Jadarius Perkins, you think of Elijah Blades. You have a lot of people that can play, you know, in those other two spots, not necessarily safety or star, but you have a lot of players that are going to fill out those other two spots.
It's got to be our homework to see the safety in that star position. Like, how's that working out? Like, the starting rotation, who's the players in that? That's the biggest question mark right now, probably on defense.
Yeah, it's got to be. So let's do our homework, and we'll be back next week with some answers, or we'll bloviate again and we'll come back the week after with some answers. Who knows? Anything else you guys want to talk about on the scrimmage or on Dan Mullen's press conference before we get into our commitment that we got today?
No, I don't think I have anything else on the scrimmage. It's first scrimmage, man. It's too many deep takes on scrimmages, especially the first one. We do this every camp. It's not my first rodeo. Dan Mullen is not going to put out a bad offense. Relax, calm down. You know, defense is supposed to be ahead of the offense. Hey, be big boys, big girls.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the Gators commitment. They got a commitment today, Monday, from EJ Lightsey, 6'2", 210-pound linebacker from Fitzgerald High School in Fitzgerald, Georgia. He's a three-star. 247 has him on their composite as the 44th ranked linebacker in the country. The Gators are now ranked 24th in the recruiting rankings, and they may be getting another commitment tomorrow. Which I don't see that ranking bumping up. But your thoughts on EJ Lightsey before we pull up his film for YouTube?
We've got him as a three-star, but I think I was talking to Corey Bender today. I think he's a guy that you know, will eventually get that fourth star. I mean, he's got an 18-minute highlight tape from a linebacker, so like that's, you know, he's making plays out there. I think he's a stand-up inside backer. Who could get some reps, but great closing speed and a sure tackler. Wraps up, kind of what you want to see from a young linebacker.
Yeah. Man, you get the Jared Davis vibes, Antonio Morrison vibes, somebody that could close fast, vicious, sure tackler. Everything you want in a linebacker, a guy that could shadow quarterbacks, these new age quarterbacks that are guys that are dual threat. He's a guy that could spy and chase down those type of dual threat quarterbacks, man. A great get by Christian Robinson. Don't get caught up in the rankings. So when the coaches do say they don't get caught up in the rankings, I see him get a guy like this, I believe him. I just think it's a great get. Kid can play some football, man.
Yeah, I think the one probably area you would attack against him would be, I don't see, watching this video, watching his highlights, don't see a lot of him in coverage.
Oh, you'll see it. Keep watching. Towards the end.
You'd think that he, with his athleticism, you could probably be able to run with running backs, run with tight ends. But he's sideline to sideline. I like the guys you mentioned with obviously Jared Davis and Antonio Morrison. Just athletic, man. Like, this is a
high motor. Kind
of, yeah. Like that.
Where do you guys think that he fits in? He plays, I believe, defensive end and linebacker, kind of that buck position that Florida has. Smaller, obviously, at 210 pounds than your traditional buck. But Silk, you just said buck. Mike. I'm sorry. Mike. Do you guys have him playing middle linebacker, outside? Silk, I know your take, but Nick, your thoughts?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, really?
Okay. Obviously, extremely talented kid, very quick, rangy, good coverage, wanted by a lot of schools. His team is good. They were the number two. I think they finished second in Georgia 2A state championship. So playing against decent talent, but really showed out and showed up. Florida has wanted him for a while. He was camping at Friday Night Lights. He did well there. I know Florida is really excited about him. He's a guy that, despite the board, is a guy that I know Florida really wanted. So I think that he's going to, really shore out that room a little bit. And I think that Florida is really starting to develop some depth there at linebacker. They've got a lot of young guys. So I think that, he's going to make an impact at Florida. And you see him in his highlight film, if you're watching here on YouTube,
able to chase fast, down, bro.
Yeah, able to run sideline to sideline, runs down quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers. But there's a couple plays there, Nick, that you might have missed where he was in coverage there. So I'm excited to see him play.
Yeah, give me more.
A highlight tape is normally like 2.5 minutes. This is 18.
And then on every one of them, it's a play too. Like, he's chasing people down. It's like incredible stuff how he gets sideline to sideline. His commitment video is pretty dope. Well thought out in the community. The head coach is involved. The kid's a dog in the weight room as well. I tweeted a couple of videos of him in the weight room cleaning 300 pounds and not even with good form. And he made it look fairly easy. And also squatting like 450. These kids are jits doing that type of weight, man. So explosive kid.
Yeah. Kid held offers from Arkansas, Auburn, Georgia, LSU, Miami, Michigan, Tennessee, Virginia Tech. So a lot of big schools. Florida ends up going into Georgia, pulling out what I think is going to be a really good player. Nick mentioned it. I've talked to some other recruiting guys, and they think that EJ Lightsey is a very likely four-star on not just Rivals, but on 247 as well. So, Florida gets a good one. I guess we'll talk a little bit about it because it's already out there. Florida's expected to be involved in the recruitment and potentially commitment of David Connor, offensive tackle out of Deerfield Beach tomorrow. So be on the lookout potentially for that as well. A guy that Florida got in relatively late for, but stands in a pretty good position. All right. So before we get into some buy or sell, you guys have any other topics that you want to bring up or else we'll get into to buy or sell?
Well, and maybe my ignorance will show here, but that's a big get too. You're getting a kid that Georgia was recruiting from the state of Georgia. So we've talked a bunch about winning those battles, and you've got to not win battles against, FSU and UCF, win battles against Alabama, win battles against Georgia. So good get, like Silk said, good get for C-Rob.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, let's get into our buy and sell segment. As always, sponsored by our friends over at Prize Picks. Visit prizepicks.com, use promo code SG, sign up, get your opportunities to do some parlays, do some fantasy things if you're into that world. They'll match dollar for dollar up to $100. So visit prizepicks.com, use promo code SG and get a dollar for dollar match all the way up to $100. All right, boys, as we started last week, we put these on the timeline to allow our Twitter fans, our Twitter followers, pardon me, to vote. First question, buy or sell, Kyer Elam gets 4.5 or more interceptions on the season. So?
Siri, play Make It Rain.
I'm selling. I just don't think that the opportunity is going to be there. I don't think he gets thrown at that often. You look at, like, what did Joe Hayden have, like, his junior year? Like, you they stopped going at you, you know, at a certain point. So I just don't think the opportunity is going to be there. He's for that. So I'll sell at, like, 4.
Joe Hayden had 4 interceptions in 2009. Nick.
Bet.
So I'm going to go – I'm going to buy – normally I would sell, but I think that Florida is going to have a pretty good pass rush this year. Yep. I think that they're going to get to the quarterback. I think they're going to force some throws. And I think that no matter who's on the field, you know, Florida's got, you know, some solid, and this is, I guess this is my line of thinking, is that if they put Kyer Elam on an island, they're going to probably shadow with one of the quarterbacks, with Jason Marshall or Avery Helm or who's ever playing the other defensive back position. I think that you might get a lot of double coverages there. I think that they might think that they can beat Kyer Elam one-on-one. I think that you get 5 interceptions a season for Kyer Elam.
2 pick 6s.
Our followers, 2 pick 6s. Ben, write that down. Silk's got to cash up at the end of the season. So our Twitter follows 52.8% buy, 47.2% sell. It's the closest we've ever had. So right on the cusp there. All right. Next buy or sell. Jacob Copeland gets drafted, if he leaves to the NFL next year, in the top 2 rounds. Buy or sell?
I don't want no problems, so I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and buy that.
Siri, stop playing Make It Rain.
That's on you, bro.
And I'm going to sell that one. For some reason, he blocked me on Twitter. I don't know.
Everybody's blocked. That's on you, bro.
I'm already blocked by him. For whatever reason, I don't know why. He slid in
me neither. Never mind. You know.
All right, so we'll just move on to that one. We got a buy sell from Silk and Nick, and then Dan sells 62.3% buy, sell is 37.7%. So I guess he's got a lot of those folks blocked and trying to earn their favor back. All right. Buy or sell? You know, here's an interesting question. We talked a little bit about COVID. We talked a little bit about tailgating. We talked a little bit about rising cases of COVID. Buy or sell, and it's the FAU game, and it's hot. Buy or sell, Florida has greater than 75% attendance in game 1. Buy or sell.
So, what, it's 85, 548 is like the official?
I believe so, yeah.
Even 88, though they somehow, 88, 548.
Yeah, yeah, 88. Somehow they magically get like 90 and 91,000.
I mean, back in the day, like when we were in college, like they would squeeze them in there, and it was like, it wasn't even shoulder to shoulder. It was like shoulders overlapping shoulders in the student section.
Yeah, nuts to butts.
To watch those games. That were not on scooters. That's reckless.
That's a wild bar right there.
So that would be like 66,000. 75% would be 66,411. I'm going to buy. I think you'll – and then also, are we talking about, you know, are we taking a head count, or are we going to take what UF says is there as the paid attendance, which have wildly – been different numbers for the people who show up versus the people who paid to be there.
Yeah, I didn't think that far into it. I think that we just go with what's announced.
Yeah, if we're going with what you have announced is buy. It's going to be more than 66. They're not letting.
They might be sold out.
Yeah, 140,000. Watch the Gators beat FAU on September 4th.
With the caveat that our eyeballs. No, we'll do eyeballs. That's what we'll do.
Well, no,
screw the official numbers, you know.
Now you're making it more difficult.
We're going to do eyeballs in the beginning of the first quarter, Nick.
Okay. I'll still go by. I think 66, here's the thing. not to get like too into COVID. If you want to go to the game and you feel safe doing it, cool, go. I'm sure there's a ton of people that haven't been able to go to a game in over a year that will either are vaccinated or don't care, and they're going to go. They're going to be there. And if you can have full attendance, I think there's a bunch of people that will go. If you don't feel safe being in a big crowd and you don't want to go, the beer's cheaper from your refrigerator, and the AC and the TV is a nice seat too. But I think 66,000 will get more than that. All so right. Buy.
So?
Yeah, I'm buying it. People are ready to see, you know, football again. You know, a lot of people excited to see it. I don't see them changing the rules last minute or anything like that before game one. I think they're kind of locked in on what they're going to do. So I'm buying it.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy as well. I'm gonna buy because Harrison said in our group chat that he talked to his friends at FAU and they're all going. So I like to think that he has more than 66,000 friends. So I'm gonna buy that as well. All right, two
they
more.
They need to go watch the YouTube video if he does.
74.7, so just a hair under that 75% number, bought 25.3% sell. All right, buy or sell. Actually, I lied. This is the closest we've ever had. 1.5 or more, obviously, five-star commitments.
What were you at now?
22 class. A whopping zero.
Yeah.
Come on, don't do it.
I got to get frugal.
No. No.
We got to get frugal.
No, say the words.
Yeah, I'm selling it.
Oh, what a heartbreak. What a heartbreak. I'm selling. Listen, I'm as sure. frugal as they've come. I bought twice today, so I might not have any cash left. I'm selling that one.
Nick's got to head to the ATM before the next podcast. I'm going to sell two. I think that they get one. I think that they get Evan Stewart. I think that, you know, he's now a five-star on Rivals. So shout out to him. But I think that the Gators get him and him alone. I think that Walter Nolan is going to go elsewhere. I think that whoever Florida is involved in with five stars is rapidly diminishing. So I think that they get one. Buy or sell, they get one.
I think I like where we stand with Evan Stewart right now. But, I mean, if Bama turned it up and decide they like him a lot and the way they do what they do with wide receivers, who knows. But I like his relationship with Nick Evers for sure.
Nick Evers will get the Recruiter of the Year award if Evan Stewart comes.
Soon come.
So, Nick, buy or sell, Florida has one five-star.
I'll buy that.
So Nick all of a sudden has money again. He ran to the ATM real quick.
I think Cam shot me alone. I got a Venmo notification.
I can see it. I can see it. All right, boys. Last question. Let's pick one. What do you think? You have to pick one or the other. What do you think is more likely? That Florida has a 1,000-yard rusher, so one individual rush for 1,000 yards, or multiple players with multiple interceptions?
Multiple players with multiple interceptions.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one. Multiple players, multiple interceptions.
We got 7 million running backs, Daniel.
just trying to create content here. Who do you guys think?
Remember we almost fired Knox? Now we got 2 million of them.
Knox was catching fades for a while on the timeline. And now
Knox, he's got 2 5 stars in his backfield, you know?
There you go.
He's got a couple 4 stars, a couple 5 stars. So deepest position on the entire team. Who would have thunk it?
Yeah, look at him. He's just doing his thizzle. All right. Shout out to Knox, man.
Shout out to Greg Knox. All right, boys. With that being said, I think that your answer is definitely going to be Kyer Elam as one. Who do you guys think is another player that might have multiple interceptions this season?
I think Trey Dean's a guy that can.
Okay. You have to pick one other person. So Trey Dean's a guy.
And Avery Helm's a guy. Jason Marshall's a guy. I think there's a lot of dudes back there.
Of course he names like 5 guys, right?
Nick names the entire team. He's like, see, I told you.
If we're talking as highly as we are about the front seven, nothing makes a defensive backfield better than
that's
a good
not
pass
the point,
rush.
Nick. That's not the point.
Listen, we've been doing this a while. I'm playing every side of the fence that I can.
I see you like
the wide angle.
You're angling. You just named the whole secondary.
Just put me on a gif of a fisherman. I'm just throwing it out. We're planting seeds and we're gonna see what grows in the fall.
Dan's like name a guy. He names the whole depth chart.
The entire. He just doesn't know how to listen to instructions. When he does listen, he talks out of both sides of his mouth. When he doesn't listen, he just names every available option.
Whatever works, baby.
Nick's been a media guy for too long. You know, he's just covering himself.
Hey, the fans are on to your shenanigans, Nick. That's a fact. Like they see what you got going on with your hypocrisy.
I don't know that I would call it hypocrisy. I just call it, you know, checking all the bases, checking all the box. We're good.
We're good. Yeah, I like us for multiple. Trey Dean's a good name.
I already named him. You gotta go outside the ones I named.
Yeah, for sure. I said that's a good name. I like
Silk stuck with Gervon Dexter.
That's what I didn't name.
No, this is a Jason Marshall fan account, man. So give me the young boy. I like him for like 3 or 4 this year.
Ooh, that's you're talking like freshman All-American numbers.
Yeah, we jump routes, man. South Florida stuff going on, man. You get a South Florida DB in the building, man. You know they gotta do what they gotta do. I like him for several interceptions in that starting role real soon. I like him as well, but
she's copying me now.
I'm gonna go with
I almost named one more guy, but that's I ain't wanna
the fans are on to me, and then you go and you name a couple.
Here, how about this? I'll go with it. I'm gonna say that multiple players, obviously, but the one name that you guys didn't mention is DeJuan Black. I think that he gets a couple you know, this season as well. I think that he's a ball hawk. He's gonna, you know, he'll have some interesting interceptions this year. I think the count me in for DeJuan Black getting one real interception, then a fluky one where maybe he makes a tip pass and able to pull one down. So I think DeJuan Black's another guy that that might get multiple interceptions this year.
That's going out on a limb. I like that one. That's a different name.
You know, you've got to put yourself out there. Like last year when I said that Stuart Reese was going to be your offensive MVP. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong. It did not turn out well for me. Did not turn out well. But now Nick's here to provide the bad take. So my position has been eliminated. Nick has assumed that role. So
he's a 5-star edit.
He sure is. There was, in fact, shout out to Adam Lewis. He said in a tweet today, he was wondering how long Nick's segment on his bad takes was going to be today. So, unfortunately, Adam, not yet, but I'm sure we'll get there here shortly.
You got to give Nick room to work. You just got to give him, like, space to talk and he'll do the rest.
I got to stop talking.
All right. So,
that's a problem on an audio podcast. I got to stop talking.
Yeah. All right. So, get the Manscaped ad read, and then we got a bunch of Gator news, NFL news, that kind of stuff. So,
shout out to the great folks at manscaped.com. The Lawnmower 4.0 is your best friend this time of the year. Also, that ball deodorant. Keep them balls smooth and keep them cool. Manscaped.com. Be sure to use coupon code SG for 20% off and free shipping. Dan, my package may need a package. Who do I holler at Manscaped?
I'll get you his name.
I appreciate it. His name's not Ralph, is it? Or Andy from Hong Kong?
No, his name's not Andy from Hong Kong. His name is Dominic.
Shout out to Dominic, man. I lost my charger piece, so I think I left it in a hotel. So I got my clippers, but I left the hotel. So I'm still running on a fresh battery. I left with a full charge, but by the time it dies, I'm gonna need some back. I don't want to use regular clippers. I need the skin safe technology. So holla at Dominic.
I got you, man. Shout out to Dominic and our friends over at Manscaped. Forgot to mention this last week, and I this is on me. This is a burden that I'll have to carry. Shout out to Coral Springs High School legend, absolute pitching legend, David Kopp, who has joined the University of Florida baseball coaching staff as a pitching coach and as a volunteer coach. David Kopp and I, friends in high school, really good dude. So he went to Clemson. He pitched for Clemson when they went to the College World Series back in 06, I believe. But he had a career with the Detroit Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals, came over to Florida from FAU where he was an assistant coach with them. So shout out to David Kopp for joining the staff, a Coral Springs High School legend like myself.
Who's the greatest of all time? You or him? Coral Springs GOAT.
Steve Hutchinson, NFL Hall of Famer. Steve Hutchinson is probably the GOAT. I'll say that David Kopp does beat me.
Okay.
So you're third? In this award. Somewhere between third and – you know what? I'm going to pull in Ahmad Black and say I'm third of all time. Third of all time.
Is your jersey going up in the rafters soon?
No. No, it's more of a silent third than I just don't like my name just, you know, being thrown. I want other people to get that honor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel
so humble.
Feel that.
Yeah, he handed the ball to the ref.
Humble Dan.
Yeah, I feel him.
Big Barry Sanders vibes.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Shout out and congratulations to former Gator safety Josh Evans, former Jacksonville Jaguar, played for a couple other teams. He has announced his retirement. So congratulations on a good NFL career to Josh Evans. In NFL news, I've got a
bunch. Dave Miguel alum, right?
He's been over here. Miguel alum, yeah. In NFL news, going to go through a bunch here. Eddie Pinheiro had the game-winning kick for the Colts. With just a couple of seconds left in the game. He's the backup kicker to former Georgia kicker Rodrigo Blankenship. Don't know if he makes this roster, but definitely an opportunity to cement himself, maybe an opportunity with another team. So congratulations to Eddie. LaMichael Pirine, Nick, your boy, had 30 rushing yards and a touchdown in the Jets game on Saturday. Kyle Trask makes his debut. Did you guys watch Kyle Trask play?
100. I had to, for sure.
He had the biggest ovation, I believe. I was at a bar here in downtown Tampa called Hattricks. The bar was pumped when he got in. Seems like the fans were super excited when he got in. He goes 4-15 for 35 yards passing. He did have a two-point conversion success. But beautiful. I mean, just a beautiful pass, rolled out, just beautiful touch right over the linebacker's hands, for that 2-point conversion catch by the tight end. Had a couple of missed, drop balls, looked pretty good, playing, you know, with a lot of third and fourth string guys. But I thought looked pretty good. What did you guys think? Bruce Arians hyped him up too.
Yeah, I thought he played well. He had some drops. He's just in a great situation. Even on a 2-point conversion, you got to see Kyle do what he do, good ball placement, even with somebody draped all over him. So I'm just happy for the kid, man. Dope stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tyree Cleveland had a rushing attempt for 6 yards. Jordan Scarlett for the Dolphins had a rushing attempt for 8 yards. Jonathan Grenard for the Houston Texans had a strip sack of Green Bay's backup quarterback, Jordan Love. Vernon Hargraves started. He had 2 tackles. Terrell Slayton also played against in that game as well. And he looked pretty good. I think that he's going to be a guy that has a pretty long NFL career.
For sure.
Is TJ Slayton. Chauncey Gardner recorded a tackle. And then Brian Poole had 2 tackles in the New Orleans Saints Baltimore Ravens game. By the way, did you guys see the clip that went around social media today? It was one of the guys from the Saints. I don't remember who it was, asking who one player on the team was that you wouldn't late date your daughter, and every single person said Chauncey Gardner, including Chauncey Gardner.
Self-awareness.
Yeah. He's grown some self-awareness since he's been at Florida, if that was his answer.
That's right. DeMarcus Robinson, he played. He only had 4 snaps in the game. But your boy and Stadium and Gale alum, Tommy Townsend, had 7 punts for 344 yards, 4 of which he landed inside the 20. So he is still punting like Boom. A madman. Stone Forsythe and Freddie Swain played for the Seahawks. I think Stone actually started. He did have a missed block in the game. And then I know Freddie Swain also had 3 catches for, I believe, 30 yards. So lots of NFL action, obviously, in week 1. And it seemed like, especially in this week, a lot of former starters and things of that nature weren't playing. And if they did, they played very sparingly. So that's why you don't have to see a ton of stats. But a lot of Gators on NFL rosters making impacts. So stay tuned. And, you know, I think you see a lot of Gators in the league making a big impact this season. So,
shout out to Stone. Is he playing right or left?
I believe he played left tackle in the game. And I don't think that was because, and no offense to Stone, I don't think he necessarily earned it. I do think that a couple of their offensive linemen are either hurt or were not playing in the game.
Gotcha.
So I guess with that being said, I think that brings us to the end of the show. Nick, so always a great time hanging out with you boys.
Big pleasure.
Big pleasure, Nick. Look forward to seeing you next week with some more hot takes. And just for everybody that's still listening, we know that you guys are clamoring for some guests, and trust me, we are working on some of that for our content calendar for the football season. So a lot of big names, a lot of big guests, a lot of familiar names, and a lot of new names we'll be talking on and bringing on to the show. Be on the lookout for that. Also, Harrison is on campus at UF now. He's going to be doing a lot of new content. Connor's going to be pumping out a lot of new content. He's our new editor-in-chief, so he's going to be bringing on some writers. So if you're interested in writing, if you're interested in podcasting, if you're interested in doing any video interviews, reach out to myself, Silk or Nick or Connor or anybody on the team here. We'll point you in the right direction. We are looking for content creators. Stadium and Gale is not just the three of us. It is an ecosystem of creation, and we want you guys to be a part of it. So reach out to any one of us. But there's a lot of great content that's going to be out there, and we're going to be changing the game. So with that being said, we'll see you boys next week.
Who's got the song?
Oh, I got the song. Silk, you're on mute, my friend, but I got the song. We're going to go. Oh. We're going to go. What's up?
StadiumGale.com/shop. Got a bunch yes. of new designs, logos, shirts, bunch of new stuff in there. Check it out. And we got some more stuff coming down the line there too.
Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff. New Stadium and Gale script, font. There's the new Workham Silly Gators kind of mock up. There's the new street corner signs as well. If you see a logo or a design that you really like, and you don't see it offered on there in a specific article of clothing, whether it be kid sizes, female, whether you want it on a notebook or whatever, just reach out to us, let us know. We have probably 500 different options in terms of merch that we can do, from colors to sizes to schemes to really anything that you want. So feel free to reach out in our DMs as well. So a lot of new merch, a lot of things coming up. We're creating right now. So this is where we get in our bag, and we're gonna be elevating this podcast game. So
what I want to do is next week, I don't know, in what fashion, we'll figure it out exactly. But I want to cover the league. I want to talk about like our opponents and around the league and takes and games, week one matchups, all of that type of stuff. So let's get into that bag a little bit.
Absolutely. So we're gonna do that. We're going to be doing a Patreon call-in show. So check us out, patreon.com/stadiumandgale. We will be doing call-in shows throughout the season as well. They will both be tied into the regular show as well as separate shows. We want to hear from you. The way to do that is get on patreon.com/stadiumandgale for as little as $2 a month. So again, patreon.com, merchandise, check out the Stadium and Gale website. That's where Connor's blog and everybody else's writing is going to be. So a lot of content, a lot of stuff that we're pushing out there. If you have any ideas or you want to be a part of that, like I said, feel free to reach out to us. So outside of that, I think it's my song of the week. Nick, you had it last week, right?
Yep. Yeah,
all right. Last week. So let's go country.
Ooh, back weeks of country, Silk.
That's right. So
hey, man.
Expand.
Silk's here for it. You know,
the demographic for it.
That's right. So I don't normally listen always to this type of country music, but he put out a really good album. And he sings my favorite country music song of all time. So Chris Young, he has a new song with Mitchell Tenpenny called At the End of a Bar. So Cam, take us out. We'll see you boys at the same corner and same time next week.
You can find your future running to your past. You can look for answers at the bottom of a glass. You can make a best friend, never know the name. Buy shots of tequila, then forget why you came. There's a million things that you can't find. Into conversation or a pair of blue eyes, yeah. Your true love or next broken heart. Maybe a party crowd on a Friday night. Long necks, long lines, and neon.
become a brand new man. The time marches on. Time marches on. There's a million things that you can't find. Bartender conversation or a pair of blue eyes. Yeah. At the bottom of a glass.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.